Morning and welcome to Emmett Audio. I noticed something last night when playing tennis with my daughter. I've been teaching both my daughters how to play tennis, and I went last night to it's a regular tennis court in the center of town. With my younger daughter, we wanted to do a one-on-one because that felt special. But also because the last time we played, and to be clear, they're at the very early stages, so when I say play, I mean me whacking balls to them and them trying to hit them. But I noticed that my younger daughter, both my daughters, had bad habits. Stuff that they were stuck doing again and again, despite knowing that it was the wrong thing to do. And I wanted to have a one-on-one with my younger daughter to see if I could get her through her bad habits, which were really preventing her from enjoying playing. And the interesting thing was that these bad habits hadn't been there in the beginning. They had showed up as she'd gotten more confident, which is an interesting phenomenon. In the beginning, she'd been, sort of averagely bad, but she'd, in the last time that we had played together, she had settled into consistently doing the same dumb thing, even though she knew it was dumb, where she would very casually hold her racket like it was the broken wing of a bird, and then at the last possible second try and whip it around super fast, sometimes so fast that she spun herself around, at the same time jumping in the air. Don't ask me where she got these ideas. And all I know is that in the moment, I couldn't get her to stop doing them. We talked about it a bunch. She got mad. She went to bed mad. I think it was the next day, or maybe 2 days later, we decided to go back, just the two of us, and see if we could get her through these habits. And here's the thing I noticed, is that I could articulate to her what she was doing, and she would still make the mistake. It was like she could say what it was supposed to be, and then as soon as she hit that groove in the record, it was like a groove in the record that she kept hitting and repeating exactly the same wrong thing again and again and again. A lot of times. And what finally worked was having her practice trying to control just one of the variables that she was getting wrong. So trying to hold the tennis racket so that it's an extension of her arm and not dangling from her hand. Okay. Now, make sure your arm is back before the ball gets to you. Okay. Now, get yourself to where you think you should be, but then stop your feet and don't jump. Okay. All of that took like a bunch of times to pull into place. And the final thing that really helped was slow yourself down. Instead of jigging yourself into position, holding yourself in position, and then trying to work really fast all at once, try and smooth your motion out so that everything you do, you might have to get yourself into position quickly, but then your shot should almost feel like slow motion compared to that. Your shot is controlled. And when she got all those things into place, she started returning 80% of the balls that I was hitting to her instead of zero. It was like flipping a switch. And I've been thinking about this all yesterday evening and this morning about what this means for when you're trying to learn anything. Because I've seen the similar thing with when I've taught people spoon carving. People show up with their bad habits, And even if they can articulate or envision what they want, it's not until they break down their motion into all of its component parts and say, okay, this is what my elbow needs to do. This is what my hand needs to do. This is what my knife needs to do. This detail right here that's not working out, this is why it's not working out. You know, my knife needs to be sharper. My wood's gotten too hard. It's not until they can parse it out into those components, break it down, and then reassemble it, that things start to work out for them. Because all of us create bad habits in our feeling of confidence. And the problem is that for most of us, our feeling of confidence comes on more quickly than our actual competence. Or to put it more clearly, our feeling of competence comes on more quickly than our actual competence. That's exactly what happened to my younger daughter playing tennis. Was she'd been, you know, we'd done 5 or 6 times playing tennis. She'd returned some balls. She was feeling cocky. And because she was feeling cocky, she's developed all these bad habits that meant that it all went down the drain for her. You know, before she was feeling cocky, she was returning, yeah, I don't know. First time it was 20%, then 30%, 40%. She maybe got herself up to returning 50% of the balls. She was feeling pretty good. Now, where did those bad habits come from? I think they come from the fact that when you're new to something, you don't have a muscle memory of what it's like to do it right. And so it's very easy to gain a muscle memory of doing it wrong. And the problem is, once you have that muscle memory of doing it wrong, that becomes your muscle memory. And it's hard to do it right. I do think that this has ramifications. This particular point has ramifications for our lives as a whole. Right? We have habits and muscle memory for how we live our lives. And let's not say that somebody's doing it wrong or doing it right, although we can say certainly that something is more wrong or more right. But let's leave the moral certainty out of it. What we can say is that whatever you develop muscle memory for, that's the thing you're going to return to. That's what's going to feel like normal. And if you want to change that because you've deliberately articulated, hey, Willa. Come on, Willa. Oh, she's after a squirrel. If you want to change that, come on, Willa. Then you're going to be fighting against your muscle memory. You're going to need to be able to articulate for yourself what it is that you hope to actually do. You're going to need to be able to articulate for yourself in painful detail what it is that you're actually doing. And then you're going to need to break yourself down and build yourself back up again. I had a friend describe for me for the first time what the 12 steps in a 12-step program are, like for AA. And it strikes me that that's exactly what this is. The 12 steps are a process of breaking down what you're doing so that you can see exactly what you're doing wrong and reassembling yourself in a deliberate fashion, trying to articulate what it would be to do it right. Come on, Willa! One thing that I would say is common across AA and my daughter's tennis and spoon carving is that it's really helpful to have someone do that with you. To have someone who can say to you, hey, here's likely where you're going wrong. Now, obviously, it's nice if that's somebody in person that you can have coach you. Clearly, that's good. Of course, on the other hand, someone being your coach can be limiting because you're then limited by their ability, right? I'm never going to be an amazing coach for my daughter in terms of tennis because I'm not a good tennis player. I know how to play tennis, so I can get her started. I'm the right person to get her started. But depending on how far she wants to take it, as she goes down this road, she would find it more and more helpful to have other voices in her head, other knowledge. Whether that's in person or not, I think just depends on circumstance. And one of the wonderful things about this day and age is that you can find people who are the best in the world at their thing and hear what they have to say. And it's true that it's not as helpful sometimes as having somebody in front of you tell you the thing. But if the choices are not having a coach at all and just trying to wing it with whatever bad habits you have, or taking in what somebody said and doing the examination and the breaking down and the rebuilding yourself, I would take having the expert's voice over doing it myself all the time. Now, there's a step further you can take, and that's why, for instance, I consider myself to be self-taught, is that I'm self-taught in this same way, in that I took what I saw other people doing when I was learning spoon carving. I took what I saw other people doing, and I examined what I was doing, and I broke down what I was doing into the component parts, and I reassembled my practice from a combination of what I saw other people doing and an evaluation from first principles of why I should do things a certain way. So my process does look different because of those first principles. But it's also the same in respect to the fact that I learned a lot from many people. It was a real conglomerate because that's where I was getting my information. No one person was presenting enough information to get me what I needed. If I was on the scene new now, I could probably find someone who was giving me a complete system. And if I followed that system, great. I'm happy with what I've got. But people were much more lackadaisical back then at teaching online, at presenting information online, and I couldn't afford to take a lesson from somebody. And so there I was. And so we all find ourselves doing this all the time. If you read a book and you encounter an idea in a book, by definition, by listening to this podcast, you are doing this to yourself. And the only reason you'd listen to this podcast is because you find it helpful in your own life to think about what you're doing, break it down, think about how you might do it differently. I raise some idea that you then take and run with and think about it in terms of your own life. And then you put yourself back together with it and see if it's better. If it's not, you discard it and move on. And if it is better, it becomes a part of who you are. But I think that the most foolish place to be is the place that my daughter was in, where she was doing so many things wrong and failing and was resistant to being taught how to do things correctly out of pride. And I get that because I have that in my own life. But when we find ourselves failing at something, struggling at something, one of the best things you can do is to let go of your pride and figure out how to do it better. Thank you for listening. Talk tomorrow.